This is an answer, a topic on a pure heart is to will one thing, that is to will the good. Right? Before I start, let's give thanks for this word that I'm going to share. And let's bow in prayer. God, thank you for your faithfulness. And indeed, Lord, as Christians, we live to seek you first, your kingdom, and your goodness. Lord, help us to live a life that is fruitful, that is pleasing unto you, and that's a heart will to one thing, to build the hood. Help us to build the hood with a pure heart, a heart that is seeking after you. We thank you for your word this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as Christians, we will the hood, you know, and only the hood. We do not resist it. When we want to do the good thing, we don't resist it. We will not also do it for ulterior reasons. And we will not, and we do not possess other motives which hide or obscure it. What do I mean to will the good? Now, it is, as a Christian, it's the center of our life. That is willing the good. Now, how are we to will the good? We need to be willing what God wills, what God has got a purpose for us, a will for each one of us. We are willing to accept that. And we have a need to be willing to be gracious and kind as well. Right? And to build a good is also accepting God's forgiveness for guilt and sin. Many a times we tend to carry the burden on our shoulder for past guilt and have not come to truly accepting God's forgiveness. And that's something that we need to learn how to put aside. And there's also this willing to be obedient to God. These are willing the good. Now, I want to dispel some mixed feeling and contradictory ideas and illusion. It is because it is urgent, it is because of one's commitment to God. Depends on how a person understands and clearly sees the pitfall and obstacles to build the hood. Now, I want to highlight double-mindedness as one of the biggest obstacles in Christian growth. In James chapter 1, verse 7 to 8, here we have the Apostle James says in chapter 1, verse 7, "For let not the man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Now, a person who is a doubter, who is being double-minded, is deemed as unstable. And in James 1, verse 7, "For let not the man think." This is pretty strong, you know. It's a warning. It says, the doubter must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So it's very, very clear in the Bible where a person who is double-minded, a Christian who is double-minded, will not receive anything from the Lord. Now there are various forms of double-mindedness. One of which is there's this word called ambivalent, which is the state of having mixed feelings or contradictory ideas about something or someone. Yes, we do will the good, but at times we also do not will the good. You know, human has got this problem from time to time. What do I mean by it? St. Augustine once wrote, I was neither wholly willing nor wholly unwilling. This is so much like what we used to say, sitting on the fence. This is a kind of double-mindedness that is born out of weakness. That when we will the good in a kind of sincerity, but only wills it to a certain degree. Again in James chapter 4, verse 8, you want draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. There is so much warning in the Bible about where we stand as a Christian, especially as a Christian who have not desire to learn more, to hearing, to learning from the various training and the various courses that will strengthen us in our walk. Why is it? Because there's also this illusion, right? An erroneous perception of reality. The condition of being deceived by a false perception of belief. We remain in illusion, and in that we mistakenly think we are willing the good. And we think we want to do what God wills, but really we want something else. We think we have repented, but really, we have been impatient. Let me make an example here. Recently, I have an Asian survey of buyer, pretty enthusiastically, without examining the financial standing of a buyer. He meant to do good, get a place for this buyer to live in. And he did not check out the financial standing of this buyer. And also not clearly identifying the condition of a false perception of market stability. Lately the market has been pretty suppressed because the government in Singapore trying to hold the market down, property price down. For one reason is that reports have been going out that Singapore has been too expensive a place to live in. Now, as a nation, knowing that there is a false perception of the market stability, which will likely become an expensive venture, soon to come in a year or two. Where is the willing the good? Willing the good, that means personally wanting to do the good thing will end up. I'm putting this example that the Asian is a Christian as well, right? So, there is this compromise on his purpose to build a good, to find a place for this person to stay, but end up otherwise, because of his intention or his personal reward or for whatever personal reason we have will cause pain to this client. At times, a type of double-mindedness that seems to build the good is for the sake of reward, At times it's out of punishment, out of the fear of punishment, or as a form of asserting oneself. This is a danger here, and this is called delusion. Sometimes the craving of repentance after God can so easily be confused with this opposite. Sometimes the repentance after God has got to deal with impatience. For example, you want to come to repentance to God to sort out your problem, your financial problem, even to that extent. Say, God, I made a mistake, I come back to you and forgive me, and I want to start again. So there is this impatience that at times cover up. The real purpose of his doing the good. I also want to highlight the wrong experiences of grace. I have here in Matthew 25 and the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. Now, there were 10 of them. Why only 10 and not more? Or, how were these 10 got involved? Now, the foolish 5 were not carrying oil in the vessels. That they were foolish took no oil with them. So that the flames on the lamp could not hold out. And this particular verse corresponds to Mark chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. The words are sown on, the seed that was sown on stony ground, who endured but for a time. Right? There's this experience of God's grace And in fact, they have not. Even for the 10 virgins, they are within God's grace. And yet, they didn't make any preparation. And we come to verse 12 from Matthew 25. When these five virgins return, those five without the oil returns in verse 12. The Bible says, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." "I know you not" is a pretty strong phrase as well. You know, it means you are not in the company of those attended to me in the marriage feast and are unknown to me. We apply this to professing Christians having only a profession of religion but no real piety. It means I know you not. As a Christian, I do not approve of you or delight in you or admit you to be my friends. This word, no, is often used in the sense of approving, loving, acknowledging as a real friend. You see Matthew chapter 7 verse 23. Jesus said, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." I did look up in Albert Barnes' note on the Bible in Matthew, from Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. "Profess unto them, say unto them plainly, I never knew you." That is, I never approved, loved, or regarded you as my friend. This proves that with all their pretensions, they have never been true followers of Christ. Jesus will not then say to false prophets and false professors of religion that he once knew them and then reject them. They have been once Christian and they have fallen away. Never did Jesus have never ever knew them at all. Recently I saw a documentary of the Pope washing the feet of prisoners and kissing the feet of one young female detainee in a ritual as a gesture of love and service. They call it a simple sign, not of Jesus being a servant. It's a bit scary to think of a Christian, a professing Christian that one fine day, I say, "I never knew you. I'm not putting any direct accusation on anyone. But it's a scary thought. And it comes to me as to when the time comes, we are all under God's microscope se avez un knowledge that he truly knows us. In the world today, there's so much happiness, and we are so caught up in things of this world. I was just, this afternoon, I was just talking to one of my friends about the bottom line of a person that the heart is. How true and how genuine and pure a person can be. And he said it's very hard to be found in the world today. Not like in ancient days where everybody will work together to survive, to do some agricultural work, to make enough. To grow enough food for the family, and they are out to do the good things for one another, for their town, for the village, for the town. But in life today, it's so fraught with so much self-centeredness, so much personal agenda. Next, I want to touch on the various obstacles that is to build one thing. There's always this law of reward, right? The food is one thing, the reward is another. Reward is what you get from being good. The admiration, the approval of some significance. And we also have a self-centered service of the good. A man wills the good simply in order that he may score the victory. This is to an extent where, again, he would rise, he would do the good to show that he has done the best thing. And another obstacle is commitment to a certain degree. Commitment to a certain degree is good on one side. It builds the good, but yet it's weak. Sometimes the commitment to a certain degree may be caused by busyness. Like the pressure of busyness is a lack of time that is indispensable of a man to come to himself, to understand himself in the really one thing. And another obstacle is imagination. Sometimes to will one thing, you just think that by imagination, things can be done. The moment of contemplation he has recklessly misunderstood as being earnest. You know, like, for example, a lazy man always has a different reason for his imagination. Another obstacle is self-justification. Sometimes a person will try to make himself accessible to God by their own accomplishment or reputation, instead of letting ourselves to be made accessible to God by God's grace. So much God's grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Another obstacle is living outside ourselves. We may tend to hide from God by identifying ourselves with other Christians in the crowd. In this sense, we are Christians in that sense. One more obstacle is the indifference. We do not care about internal matters. We live without a thought for the final end of life, drifting wherever our inclinations and the pleasure that may take us. We do not want to take the trouble to investigate our internal lot, our internal prospect, and are unconcerned to seek the truth. Just now Sister Kim said about her dad, Mr. Tan. I remember about 2-3 years back when we were at the church camp, he was pretty on his own, you know. And there was some resistance in him, but thank God that in February this year we accepted Christ. I pray that a lot more of our friends or family members are yet to be Christian will not come to a point where they are indifferent and they may miss out on the very last moment to come to God. One last obstacle is a resistance. A resistance is when we refuse to do what is good, we push God away, we shut down, and even utter a defiant no. This kind of resistance we may see in some of the people that reach up to. So it's very sad that we encounter such a person. But nevertheless, we need to ask for God's grace upon whoever this person may be. And what must we do, Sometimes to act decisively is really the earnest, right? The main concern here is earnestness. Why? Well, Christ may come tonight, tomorrow. Time is really running out on our loved ones. The inaction and procrastination are very likely the common delays. What else must we do? Individually, each one of us shall render account to God as an individual. In eternity, there is no mob pressure, no crowd, no hiding place in the crowd. And you now so live your life conscious of yourself as an individual. I have many a time asked friends, do you live in such a way that this conscious thought of living oneself as how the world needs you is able to secure an eternal life, even though a professed Christian in that sense? So sometimes the challenge friends may become an offense. So it is necessary for us to reach out to the same, yet it is also just as necessary to give a warning sound to Christians. Single-mindedly winning the hood must also be a slow and honest learning process. Sometimes we may challenge our friends as to how would you know, I mean to challenge our Christian friend as to how would you know you are safe? And many a times all we have heard in this church is, by your fruits you shall know yourself. This is not the only sole proof that a man has such a conviction, but that his own life should actually express it. I would say in my younger days as a Christian, as a professional Christian, there may be a time I come to repentance to God as being impatient to get right with God. But I haven't deeply examined myself as to am I living outside myself by identifying myself with other Christians in the sense that I am a Christian? So that's a scary thing when I see the same kind of answer or expression that some of my friends have. So I'm very, very clear now that every person has a heaven's salvation only by the grace and mercy of God. And it's so meaningful to ponder that Christian that personality will mature when he or she absorbs the truth and makes it his own. Yes, sir. There's a need for awakening in a lot of Christians in Singapore, not only in Singapore, throughout the world. And I see there's so much turmoil, like today there's more stabbing in China, things happening in Ukraine. I tend to ponder whether the end time very close. It's a scary thought. It's a time to remind us that we ought to encourage those who are Christians to seek first the kingdom of God. And to many experiences where that my patient Christian relatives have kept telling me, not in spite of all the turmoil, all the things that happened to me, they'll say, seek me first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So, may we be encouraged or continually telling friends who have accepted Christ to minister first the kingdom of God. Of course, we have to give a listening ear to the problems that you may have or some concerns that you want to share with. And most importantly is to remember we ourselves as Christians, we want to have a pure heart. So a purity of the heart is the real one thing, it's the real and good. In so doing, we are listening and sharing with our professing Christian, and it is a good thing, you know, to build a good thing, to build a good in this sense. When Christianity came into this world, the task was simply to proclaim Christianity, to proclaim Christ died on the cross for our sin. But our times are so much added with so much distraction, and the devil has got a few days. This is scary to think of the days where God destroyed the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Maybe very close by, you know, when Christ is coming again. And never know when. Maybe very soon. Or maybe another couple of generations down the road. So it's so vital. God's truth, the real truth, should be propagated by Christians who've got a pure heart to reach out. A pure heart to build the good. What I have for tonight in this sharing, let me close it with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. May Father, all of us, healthy or sick, richer or poorer, we live under your grace. This time where so much things that happens that distract us, that cause us to lose our direction. We ask Lord, and for harassing us, cause us to do in putting aside all obstacles, the obstacles that we surface in our lives. Draw them unto you. You have promised to draw them unto us. Thank you for lives that have been transformed. And we pray that not out of transformed lives, that we will not go back into a mode of double-mindedness, of illusion, of bringing back things that has entrapped us before. Help us, Lord, to look towards victory and eternity, and help us to continue to build a hood out of a pure heart for your glory and for your honor. Not so much powers that we see on this earth in the present time. Surely a wondrous sign of your coming. Maybe soon. We ask that in this end time we be more earnest in our outreach, more encouraged and bold in our sharing with friends and loved ones. We ask, Lord, and help us to grow individually too. Yes. Two Christians whom time comes, Jesus will not say, "I never knew you." We will be accepted in heaven. Now, God, as we learn how to live this life, service, genuine service unto you, serving those who need Christ in whatever way we can. Thank you, Lord God. Give us strength to overcome adversities among ourselves too, to help one another in every situation that we encounter, to uphold each one another in prayer, good deeds, doing the good as well as the right thing. Thank you, Lord, for protection. Pray that you are constantly open doors for us as we look to grow in faith, as a walk in faith. To live this life worthy of your calling. We pray all this in Jesus' name.